Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it. All that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, we welcome our guests, and I call our guests the modern day sages. These are the men and women that have gone through the process of enlightenment in the sense that they have become better students of who they are, and they are here to encourage us and to deposit wisdom and all of the other tools necessary to get you and I to become even better human spirits. It is my pleasure to welcome Michael to the show today. And Michael, I want to thank you for coming to Threads of Enlightenment and introduce yourself to the people and tell us what you have created.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for inviting me. It's lovely to be here with you. I like the title of your show, Threads of Enlightenment. I really think we need that in the world of today. And I hope, and it's my wish, to be a contribution of one or two threads. So, my name is Michael Landau. I live currently in Chile, South America. I'm a Feldenkrais practitioner. Feldenkrais is a method that works with mindful movement, movement with awareness. Usually, so the classical Feldenkrais class you do on the floor, on a mat, you slow down, you do very little effort, and you look at small details of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So this is the way it looks. If I had to describe it with one sentence. And in the pandemic, this whole teaching that used to happen in a room with the students in the same place, it moved online and things started to change. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not the same as being in the same room with my students, but it made it possible for me to have students all over the world, mm-hmm. for one. And then I came up with something that I think is kind of new, and it is inspired by the Feldenkrais method, but it's not the way it is normally taught. I created an online course that is a daily practice of 3 minutes a day of mindful movement. So my idea was to help people create a habit, a daily habit, mm-hmm. of stopping for a very short time so that it's really possible to do every day, looking at themselves in movement and do some kind of a short exploration. So it's like the essence of the same idea of mindful movement, using movement as a doorway into discovering yourself and improving, getting better, becoming a better version of yourself, being more aware, but do it in very small chunks, but every day. And I found out that this possibility that the internet gives me, because I'm not going to invite people to my studio for 3 minutes a day, but mm-hmm. Online it works fine. I send the link, you just, wherever you are at home, you take 3 minutes and just stop whatever it is that you're doing and take a look at yourself. So this is kind of innovative, and it's been an experiment. And mm-hmm. I started it in around the the middle of 2020. And I was surprised myself that it is really, really effective. The fact that people, my students, stay over long periods of time and do a very small thing, that it is so small that they have no excuse to not do it, even when they're very busy or they don't feel like it. So 3 minutes a day, it's just a tiny little bit of change, of focus, of doing something with yourself, of stopping the rat race. And it works. It really makes a difference. And people love it for one thing. And it really, over time, it makes a difference in their lives. So this is what I've been, this was my main occupation in the last month, a year or so. Like doing this course online, being in touch with the students, hopefully sending a thread or two around the world to bring us closer to enlightenment. This is my the thing that I'm really excited about this these days.
It's a beautiful program. I think it's necessary, and it's short enough to capture the person's attention, but powerful enough to make life changes within their life, as to help them to appreciate who they are, help them how to learn to focus, how to gather their thoughts to become masters of their thoughts. And I believe that once we begin to learn how to master our thoughts, we can master our world. So I think it's a beautiful approach. And I looked at some of your videos and see some of your techniques, and I love it. I really appreciate it. So I'm excited about having you here so that the listeners can be exposed to the things that you do and how you do it. I really appreciate it. But what we do here, Michael, is to go back, because I want to get to know who you are before this came about. How did you get to this place that you are able to create the program that you did, and how you started teaching it and so forth? And I think the onset of the virus has caused tremendous amount of opportunities and doors to open that none of us would have ever thought was possible for our lives. But I want to thank you and take you back a little, Michael. Tell us a little about your childhood. Reminisce a little as to your family, where you came from, that type of thing.
Okay, so I was born in Israel. I grew up in Tel Aviv. My parents were Holocaust survivors. They came from Europe. This whole generation of my parents and their peers were people who got to Israel from a usually pretty traumatic experience and youth, to this new place where everything was new and possible. And it was a mixture of people from all over the world. So it was a very interesting place to grow up in.
Yeah.
And this, I think, second generation of Holocaust survivor, there's a syndrome that has explored our heritage. I feel that I have quite a bit of history that I've been carrying on my shoulders. That is not my personal history, but it's been there.
Yeah.
So there's that. But it wasn't really present in my childhood. Tel Aviv in the 60s was a really lovely, friendly place to grow up in. I used to go out and play with my friends in the street. I walked to school alone. It was safe. It was varied. And the Feldenkrais method was born in Israel. So So it's been around. I heard the word at least during my youth.
Okay.
And I used to play the piano as a kid. So I played the piano for forever, and I became a professional pianist. This well, taking 20 years later, I moved to Vienna to study in the Vienna Conservatory, and I became a professional pianist and accompanist. So I worked with singers as a specialization of piano playing. So I studied vocal music, and that was my occupation for about 30 years.
Wow.
At some point, I moved to Chile, and I was still a professional musician. And the Feldenkrais method, I took the training. I finished the training in 1994, so quite a while ago. And it's always been there as an kind of an accompaniment. It helped me survive many hours at the piano. It made me more aware of what I do, how I do things, how I move. It was very helpful for piano playing. It was very helpful for general health and well-being. And about 3 years ago, I decided to quit the active musical career and dedicate myself to Feldenkrais. So this is where when I became an entrepreneur and started having my own business, so to speak. This was quite
A jump.
Quite a change after being a university teacher for 30 years. So
this what is made you,
my story.
What made you make that change, Michael? What was the catalyst, the incidents, or series of incidents that got you? As I always tell people, life has a way of showing up and causing you and I to begin to look at our situation and say, I want to do something different. What was the incident or collectiveness of incidents that caused you to make that decision?
I made quite a few, not too many, kind of revolutionary decisions in my life that I don't really have a good explanation for. I mean, it felt right.
Yeah.
I did it. One of them was moving from Israel to Austria to study music. This was kind of like jumping into the void. Then 15 years later, I met my my present wife, who is a Chilean, and I decided to move to Chile, also leave my job at the conservatory in Vienna and change country, go into the unknown. It was absolutely right. So 3 years ago, after 30 years of teaching in the university and accompanying singers and instrumentalists at the piano, so many hours at the piano for all these years, I really loved it. I enjoyed it. It's wonderful to be able to make a living as a musician.
Yeah.
And the last year before I left, I was tired. I just I wasn't excited about it anymore.
Yeah.
And I had the Feldenkrais method as an alternative. I knew how to do it. I've been teaching it kind of on the side all these years. So I thought, okay, this is probably time to say enough of the regular piano playing. Now I'm playing at home for my own pleasure, and I love it. And again, it was it felt right. I did it, and it still feels right. Although I had no idea what I'm going into. Like, I mean, I know how to teach Feldenkrais, but I had no idea what it means to be an entrepreneur, to have my own business. I didn't think of it as starting a business.
Yeah.
I thought I would teach what I know how to teach, but it doesn't really work that way. So I'm still I'm still struggling with that.
Yeah, so you are learning the business aspect of your decision. I love it because here you are, and people need to listen to this because it's really beautiful. We can create several different parts of ourselves. A lot of people, Michael, try to get, they get pigeon-toed into one place and they don't want to or feel the need to explore. But I love the fact that here you are, a secure situation, and you just jumped in to a unsecure situation in the sense that it is now a new field, starting a business, creating a product by which you can sustain yourself or to move from. And it's risky. And in your first couple of years, I'm sure you've had those times where you're like, did I do the right thing? Am I here? What am I doing? I should, you know, talk to me about some of those things. When you have those type of thoughts, how do you encourage yourself and move yourself out of that space?
So as I told you, I really don't have a good explanation as to how I make those decisions. And the fact that it feels right, that I really don't hesitate, I don't look back, and I never really thought in any of these big changes, did I do the right thing? What I come to think these days again and again is, what is the right thing to do now?
Yes.
I'm still trying to organize my days to have priorities, to have time management. I'm struggling with these things that I never had to think about when I was an employee, because they're kind of done for you. When you're an employee, you have the external order that makes it easy. So having my own business is a challenge, but I never really asked myself, did I make the right decision? I know I did.
It was
right. I knew it was right. I made it and never looked back. And this is surprising because I don't see myself as courageous. It just, in some points of my life, I have this clarity. And when I have the clarity, I don't doubt.
Do you think
it is strange?
Do you think that you got that from the way that you, from your upbringing, the way that your mind work, your thought, thoughtfulness, do you think is that process that once you engage it, that once you make your decision, you're comfortable with that decision and you move forward?
I think something that was very present in my environment, in my youth, in my childhood, is that I was surrounded by people who lost everything and started anew and made a good life for themselves. Yeah. This includes my parents and this whole their whole generation of peers.
Yeah,
there are people who got there from wherever they were before, where they had a life. This life was destroyed completely. They started anew. So I guess in some place in my unconscious, I knew this is possible. So I have this somehow, I don't know, unjustified security that it will be okay.
It'll be okay.
When I start afresh, I leave the old life behind, I trust.
Yeah, I think that is awesome. We cannot imagine the trauma that your parents and that generation, that what they sustained. But it is a testament to the power of the human spirit that once they are out, how they think And as you mentioned, I believe that some of that rubbed off on you in the sense that you're able to move from one space to another and create a world and not be concerned about the past. I think is a beautiful gift that you were able to receive from them, even probably unconsciously about it, but you could see it manifesting in your life, in your decisions, making those things and don't turning back. So here you are, you've made this jump. You're now an entrepreneur. You are exposing yourself to the world or opening yourself to the world through the new format via the pandemic that came about. I knew it must have been a natural progression because you said you had your physical building classes. How did you feel about making that jump from the classroom where you can touch and feel to the internet format?
Yeah, as you said before, the pandemic is again, it's a traumatic event. Worldwide trauma. There's a lot of pain. There's been death and illness and a lot of stress and fear. And as you said, it opened an enormous amount of opportunities. It is new. It is a new situation. We have to somehow learn to live with it, see what the limitations are and see what the new opportunities are. And as you say, it has opened up a lot. We have technology on our side. We have this possibility. I mean, you're in Thailand, I'm in Chile, and we are conversing as if we were next to each other. This is pretty magical. Yeah. And this can happen in the classroom. I mean, I have the classroom in front of me on the screen. And people can be there from anywhere in the world at the same time. And actually, in this context that we are creating online, we create a community. And people became friends with each other, got to know each other. I feel like I know my students, whom I've never met in person. So it is quite amazing. It's a new experience.
Yeah.
And this online course that I created is a product of these new possibilities, because when I was teaching at home or in my studio, my students were from around here, so it was limited.
Local.
I was teaching in Spanish. In Chile, and these were local people. I had to go once a week to Santiago, the capital, which is an hour and a half drive, to give classes there and come back, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of investment, a lot of commute for just a few classes and coming back. And so this new way of teaching is, on one hand, it's much more economical. It is comfortable, and it has some benefits that I didn't think about. But it's different when people do the class at home. They just put a mat on their carpet in the living room or wherever they are, and the fact that they do the class at home, and then they get up from the class and they are at home. The integration of what they did in class is quite immediate. It's not like they're coming to my studio. It is a separate situation. When they're at home, they get up into their daily life immediately. So the integration is more direct, which makes it more powerful in
a
way.
And
it also made possible this daily, very short practice, because this is only something that you would do at home. You do the 3 minutes and forget about it. There's not something that I could do in a classroom.
Yeah, I love this program, Michael, and I'll tell you why, because I think we are in the beginning stages of the effects of this pandemic. There are lots of fallout that we haven't seen yet, and they will be manifesting mental issues that we know some of those things have started to come about. We know that depression has increased. We know that violence within the home has increased. We know all of these things, and I believe that we are at the beginning stages. I think the other aspect of this that we haven't encountered as yet is the financial piece, which will again bring more stress within the framework of our living and moving from space to space. And your program, I believe, is absolutely perfect for a time like this. I don't think I have seen anything product-wise that I think would be better, because they get a chance to do it, Michael, in their own home. It's private. They're not concerned about what the other person is thinking about them, how they look, how they don't look. None of that. All of that distraction is taken away under this format. And I think you have a powerful tool by which people can now get to know who they are and get a little more internal and stronger to deal with the life that they have to deal with as a human spirit. I'm so glad that this product is out here, Michael, for people. This is beautiful.
Yeah, it all started with my own need, of course. I became an entrepreneur without even knowing it. I didn't think I was starting a business. I was thinking of teaching classes. And I found out when I became independent, nobody was giving me a schedule. I had no idea how to manage my time. And I started looking into the whole science of habit creation. I needed habits. I needed to know what I'm going to do when I get up in the morning, for how long I'm going to do it, how to distribute my time, how to prioritize, how to know how to avoid distractions. And this is a big work that I needed to do with myself that I wasn't really prepared for. So I needed to study, to really learn how to do this. So this idea of creating a habit for my students, of mindful movement, of stopping every day for a very short while and making it a daily habit, and just look at themselves in movement. This came out of my own process of creating healthy habits. And yeah, in for many, many people, their regular lives of before the pandemic were disrupted. Everything changed. They were bound to home. They were with kids or with grandkids or whatever. They had to work from home. They had to organize their time differently. And for many people, time management was a really issue. For the first time in their lives. So so this was a product of my own necessity.
That is awesome.
And also the idea that new habits must be very small.
Yes.
You don't start a huge thing. If I ask people to do a regular Feldenkrais class, which is like 40 minutes to an hour, do this every day, not going to happen.
Yeah.
Three minutes a day is a very reasonable commitment.
Yes.
It's
short enough, but more powerful, I think. It's short enough, but when applied and done, it will create great results, because you're actually training your mind and your thought. You're grabbing hold of two of the most powerful parts of the individual, your thought life and your focus. And once you combine those two, you can achieve great things. And I've seen it done in my life, from my own personal life. When we were talking about earlier, mine was meditation. I did the classical meditation where you get down and you sit down and you do your meditation. But I tell people meditation comes in many different forms. You could sing and dance meditation. You play music, piano. You can meditate. Meditation to me, and I tell people, is the place that you visit where you're able to quiet the mind, the thought life, and become the master of it, where you you want to think of something else, but you're bringing it back saying, not now. This is where I need to be present. And I love that your approach. It's short, it's precise, but powerful, training people how to develop a habit that will change their life forever. That's powerful stuff, Michael. I really, really love it.
It's meditative. I call it mindful movement. Yeah. It is. You can say that this is a meditation in movement for 3 minutes, because it is not mechanical. It's about maintaining the focus, looking at the details of what you're doing. So you really need to be mindful. It doesn't work otherwise. It is not a mechanical repetition of something like an. It's not an exercise in the way that we know it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm totally with you. This is a meditative moment.
Yeah, and when you put yourself in that space, the amount of power that you generate within the brain, if people take a look at what happens, and science have studied that when you're in a meditative state, you're putting your mind in certain state of theta states. You have the delta, you have all these different things that the mind does. And when you put yourself in that meditative state, that's where you get all the answers. That's where you find yourself the, I call it the bridge between the madness and your perceived reality. And when you enter that breath and you proceed. And so I am so excited about people getting a chance to hear this, because I know that a system like this will bring them much power in their life and help them to make the changes, even to handle their day. Michael, I do my meditation and I'm able to handle my day from that place of meditation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I do try to meditate every morning too. Mm-hmm. There are some periods where I manage to do it every day. And the other thing that is very powerful in this kind of work, and something that I know from this method that I've been working with for years, is that movement is an excellent doorway into change.
Yes.
Because when you do movement in a mindful way, you really look at it, it is easy to introduce small changes. You can decide, but it is not so easy with your emotions. It is not so easy with your thoughts. You don't just change it by decision, not so easily. In movement, you can decide to do something a little differently, introduce a variation, see that you have options. So there, I really feel that with 3 minutes is just enough to make a tiny change. And when you make a tiny change every day, you're on a path of growth.
Yes, I agree with you. And that's what we try to do here at Threads, is we try to bring people like yourself that provide tools and techniques by which you and I can, the audience can utilize and to change their life. It is my hope that those that are listening to this conversation that we are having, that you would reach out to him, get into his class, because as he mentioned, that they're all over, students are all over the world. And we have quite a few countries that are listening to us. And I just tell you guys, we're going to provide all of his stuff so you can get to him and get into one of those classes so you guys can learn, because there's this thing is not over yet, guys. This is not over yet. We're just getting started. And I think your this is the perfect timing. I cannot say it enough, man. It is perfect timing for what you have. And it's my hope that you, this just explodes as people hear it, to get in touch with you and grow your business so that you can work on that time management skill that you're talking about.
Yeah, thank you. I hope so. I wasn't convinced when I started it because it was really an experiment. Mm-hmm. It was new for me. I think it isn't a new way of approaching this work, but yeah. I'm convinced now. I've had students who've been through a 6 months of a daily practice, and they really notice a change in their degree of awareness on during the day, not just mm-hmm. During these 3 minutes. And yeah, it makes a difference. So I really hope it gets to be more known.
Yeah, it's necessary. I remember. And when I was going through my mess and all of the changes that was going through in my life, when I began to implement meditation into my life, and initially when I started, if you know my personality, I just couldn't even sit down for 2 minutes. So this was a task, how to learn. I had to learn how to take control of my thoughts and so forth. But as I learned how to do that, Michael, what I began to notice was that my entire day, I put myself in a state that when the problems of the world, if you will, would come and present themselves before me as the day progressed, I was in a state of awareness that you can't explain it until you begin to practice it, as you were saying. You just find yourself there. You were talking about some of your clients telling you this, that they find themselves in this space of awareness. And when you're there, I believe, Michael, you're able to make better decisions. I think you have you employ the power of choice because you're able to not react. You're able to make a decision versus making a reaction in your situation that arises in your life. So that is excellent that you're hearing that type of power and testimony from your clients.
Yeah, and I love the image of threads of enlightenment. It is really beautiful because this is the way it works.
Yes.
You pull a thread and you throw a thread and you just create a network over time. Enlightenment mm-hmm. is not this huge thing that fall on you one day out of the blue. It is a creation over time that works like this, a network all around you.
I absolutely agree. Every little thread, and that's why I named the threads of enlightenment, meaning threads coming from you, Michael, coming from everyone else, so that we can create this tapestry that is beautiful, that we as human spirits can grab tools and from the conversations that we're having, that they can then utilize that to change their life and to make a difference in their personal life, because that's where it starts. And then you can expand that to your family. And as you did, you expand it to people around the world. And it's our hope that as you gain more students, that they would then take your knowledge and even make it more powerful by adding, as you said, different threads to it and keep sewing this tapestry that we are here to do together as human spirits while we're occupying this space. I want to thank you so much, sir, for coming to Threads of Enlightenment. You have product that you have, this lifestyle change that you're presenting for people is warranted, is needed. And in a time as this, I remember that growing up in the church, they would say, Esther was born for such a time as this they would use. And I believe your program, your class and everything is for such a time like this. Thank you so much for coming to Threads.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for inviting me, and keep throwing those threads around to bring us closer to enlightenment.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Everyone who's listening to this broadcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.